There's actually no chidushim on the Gra, of the Gra on Parshas Vayikra, at least not in the Sefer that I was looking at today, which is just as well because it gives us an opportunity to start seeing the Tiras HaGra on the Haggadah Shel Pesach. It's always, always good to go through some ideas on the Haggadah before Pesach so that we have what to say at the meal, at the Seder. And let's see what the Gaon says. It's found in Parshas Bay, in the Pnina Mishulchan HaGra, Parak Yud Beis, Pasuk Chava, V'haya, Ki Yemer Aleichem B'neichem, Maha Veda Zayis Lachem. When your son will say to you one day, what is this Aveda to you? Of course, this is the question in the Haggadah that's posed by the Rasha. In the Torah, it doesn't say exactly who says what. The Mefarshim explain who says what. And these psukim that are right next to each other in terms of the Haggadah, we have a Chacham, and then we have a Pasuk by a Rasha, and Tam Sheni Yedei Lishel, it's all together here, but they're really scattered, these four statements throughout the Torah. One is in Parshas Bay, one is at the end of Parshas Bay, that's the Tam. At the beginning of Sefer Devarim in Perek Vav, Pasuk Chaf is the question of the Chacham. And then, and then the She'en Yedei Lishel doesn't say anything, but we say back to him, he got it to live in Chubay Ma'u. That's also in Parshas Bay. Also in Parshas Bay, the answer to the Tam is B'chayzik Yad Haitzena Hashem Mitzrayim Be'savadim. But this question in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Chavav in Parshas Bay, when he says Maha Veda Zayis Lachem, we know that is the question that the Rasha asks. Kilashin Agad, the Rasha Ma'aymer Maha Veda Zayis Lachem. This is what the Rasha asks. And Yesh Lahavin Ma'hebdo Ben Shelas HaChacham L'Shelas HaRasha. Damar lachem, ulefichach chartzu alav amishpa lahakis eshinav, harigama chacham haitzias asmana klal, ba'amr ma'edis asher tzivashem lekenu eskam. This is like one of those classic questions that every person, at the Seder, if he doesn't ask it, he should have asked it, because the chacham's response and the Rasha's response is almost identical. What happens to Rasha? We go crazy on. We go like, We go nuclear on the Rasha. You have to, since he was Haitzi Asasim and Aklal by saying, Ma Aveda Zayis Lachem, what's this Aveda to you? So it sounds like, to you and not to me. So he was being Maitzi himself from the Klal. He was a Kaifer Be'ikr. Ve'afata Hake Ashinav, you have to, whatever that means, knock his teeth out or set his teeth on edge. Ve'emerle, and tell him, Ba'avor Zeh, Asa Hashem Li B'tzeisi V'mitzrayim, leave Lai, only he would do this to me if we were leaving Egypt, not to you. Ilu Hayashem Le'anigal. So this Rasha really gets a, real verbal lashing for having the audacity to say simply, Maha Aveda Zayis Lachem. What is this Aveda to you? Seems to be putting himself on the outskirts of the Machane Yisrael. But the strange thing is, and this is what the Gaon is pointing out, if you look at the question of the Chacham, who is like, he's like the favorite child, everybody wants to be the Chacham, what does he say? Ma eidos v'achukim mamash. What are all these laws? Asher tziva Hashem elekeinu. What? What's the next word? Asher tziva Hashem elekeinu. Eschem. What does that mean, Eschem? Eschem means to you guys. He didn't say lanu. He didn't say, what are these laws that we're doing? He didn't sound like a goody-goody. He sounded like, he's also too cool for school. Like, what, Mavez, Asher Tzivashem Eschem. V'afata Emerlai, he's a Talmud Chacham. Speak to him in learning. Hilchasa Pesach, Imafinach Pesach, Abikaimen. The Chacham gets away scot-free. He says pretty much the same, type of, angle as the Rasha, but the Rasha, is really in a lot of trouble for saying, Ma'avayda Zayis Lachem. And the Chacham is, he's amazing, right? He is amazing. He said, a good thing. He asked a good question, but he also says, "Ma asher tziva Hashem lekeinu eschem." This is a question that is a very obvious question. It's a question that everybody should know, and it's really. It seems like this is the Gaon's question. I'm looking in a Haggadah. This is the Haggadah that I generally use on Seder night, if anyone cares. It's called Hallel Eiris. It's a wonderful Haggadah. It's a likud of really the best pshatim. It's the same, brought to you by the same person who wrote the Hallel Eiris on Chumash. Also a similar cover, but in blue. And he was nifter very young, unfortunately, Rabbi Reuben. But he knows exactly how to find a gem and collect them and put them together in a sefer in a beautiful manner. So he quotes this same thing that we're really learning out of the sefer. He quotes it in the Hagra, in the Gra's Haggadah. There's a Haggadah that's put out with the Torah of the Gra, and this is asked there as well. So v'nir lefarish ulagia eis, and he says that I would like to. Change a single letter, says the Gaon, which is not uncommon if the Gaon does it. In fact, we're going to find that it's actually a mechilta that does the same thing. What's the letter that the Gaon wants to add? He says, instead of saying umishum shehaitzes atzum in aklal, since the Rasha took himself out of the klal, out of the general populace by saying that ma'avayda zayis lachem, so therefore kafar b'ikr. He was, by doing so, he was kafar b'ikr. The Gaon says, I respectfully would like to add a vav. I'd like to buy a vowel. I'd like to take a vav and add that to kafar b'ikr. So instead of saying afata v'shayis esatzim in aklal v'kafar b'ikr. Now what does that help us? How does that help us if you add a vav? V'akavonahi. Shlaima Melech says in Kehelas, in Parak Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, for a Isi Ani, she yesh Yisrain lechachma min ha-sichlus, ki Yisrain ha-ar min ha-cheshech. Pasuk Shlaima Melech writes in Kehelas, that I see that there is an advantage to wisdom over evil. Sichlus is like a foolish evil. And that advantage is like the same advantage that you find that light has over darkness. Very strange pasuk. What does that mean? Sounds good, but I don't know what it means. So the Gaon did know what it means. Listen to what the Gaon does with this pasuk. Amazing. V'yesh lefarish, dine gabi brias, shemai maris ksiv. What does it say by the creation of heaven and earth? V'yikra lekim la'ar yayim. Hashem calls the light day. And the darkness he called night. What do you notice by this pasuk? Gabe ark siv elekim, v'gabe cheshach leinichtem elekim. It says vayikra leikim la'ar yayim. Hashem called ar yayim. Doesn't say v'lacheshach kara elekim laila. Doesn't mention Hashem's name by darkness. It only mentions his name in association with light. Zehu gama Yisrain. So gabi arksiv elekim gabi chesh leina. That fact, that irrefutable fact, that Hashem puts His name next to the word ar and not next to the word cheshach, is something that we also find between the sheila of the chacham and the sheila harasha, which is called evil. Da chacham al kol panim mazkir Hashem ba'amrei Hashem elekeinu. At least the Chacham, when he was asking his question, if you read the wording carefully, what does he say? Ma'edos v'achukim ha'mishpatim. What are all these rules and laws? Asher tziv Hashem elekeinu eschem. Our God. So by the Chacham, you find that what? He put his name, Hashem's name in his sentence. He wove Hashem into his conversation. That's very significant. The Rasha, there's no mention of Hashem. He just says, Ma'avayda azayis lachem, period, no mention of God. V'zeo gama hevdel, t'gabi ark sevayikra lekim la'ar yayim. That's the same exact thing that we find by day and night in the first parasha of the Torah. That it says Hashem called the light day, elikim called the night, the light day, By Cheshach, it doesn't say it. It just says, V'Cheshach Kar Laila, V'Zeu Sha'amar, Baal HaGadah. This is what the Baal HaGadah meant when it continued and said, U'Lefi Sha'haytzias Atzman HaKlal V'Kafar B'Iker. He was Maitzi himself from the Klal. Additionally, besides for being Maitzi himself from the Klal, he did something else wrong. He was also Kafar B'Iker. Ritzayna Laimar, Sha'hizkir Shem Shamayim. He was Kaifer Biker, meaning, how do you know that he was Kaifer Biker? How do you know? It doesn't say in the Pasuk that he was heretic, that he was heretic, that he went against Hashem. But the fact that he didn't mention Hashem's name shows that there was something lacking in his emunah. He didn't have a relationship with Hashem. La'afuke ha'chacham she'hizkir shem shemayim, as well as the chacham. The chacham you can't accuse of being a Kaifer Biker. Why? Because he mentioned Hashem Elokeinu. He said very clearly that Hashem is my God. That's a very big difference between a Chacham and a Rosh. You have to like be the Vilna Gaon to realize that difference. But this is what the Vilna Gaon says. There's an inherent difference between a Chacham and a Rosh. Besides for the fact that it's true that they seem to be saying the same basic idea, Lachem versus Eschem, similar, very similar. But you have to notice the fact that the Chacham did include Hashem's name in the question, which shows that he's still part of our camp. He's still not Kaifer Biker. He's very much on board religiously. So he's a Chacham. He's asking a good question. A Rasha, though, when he's asking this question, you see that under the surface, there's brewing a Kfira Biker, Vikafer Biker. He didn't mention Hashem. That means he's sort of like severing Hashem from his life. He's a Kaifer Biker. And here's the brilliance of the Vilna Gaon, V'zeu Sha'amar Shlomo Melech. This is what Shlomo Melech meant in Kehelas, that Sheyesh Yisrael L'Chachma Min Asichlos. He says that there is an advantage of Chachma over evil. Chlaima, what does that mean? Bein She'ilas HaChachma Shilas HaRasha. What is Chachma versus Rasha? The question that the Torah quotes the Chacham is asking versus the question that the Torah is quoting the Rasha is asking. What is that? What's the difference? What is the advantage that a Chacham has over a Rasha? Ki Yisrael ha'ar min ha'cheshach, like the advantage that Ar has over Cheshach. What does that mean? What's the advantage that Ar has over Cheshach? Ha'inu degabe Ar nechtav Hashem. Degabe Cheshach lo'y nechtav l'nizka Hashem Shemayim. Kein ha'davar ha'zekan. So the Vilna Gaon, as only the Vilna Gaon could do, figures this out. Who would think about this? Who would have the brilliance, the genius, to be able to find a pasuk in Kehelas that the advantage of a Chacham over a Rasha is the advantage of Ar over Chaisha, which is like a baffling, you know, statement that Shlomo Melech makes that nobody until the Vilna Gaon probably had any idea what he was really talking about. Comes from the Vilna Gaon, I know what he's talking about. The advantage of a Chacham over a Rasha in the Haggadah, or in the Torah, which is quoting the Chacham and the Rasha, is the same as the advantage of Ar over Chayshach. What's the advantage of Ar over Chayshach? Ar has Hashem's name by it. Chayshach does not. That's the difference between a Chacham and a Rasha, that a Chacham has at least he has the frumkeit that he's adding Hashem to the conversation. So if how could he say that? Because you're allowed to ask questions. Yiddishkeit allows us to ask questions. Isn't that what we do all day? Isn't that what Taisa is doing, what Rashi is doing, what the Gemara is doing, what Rishayim are doing, what Achayim? It's all questions. We're not afraid of questions. You just have to make sure that the way that you phrase your question is one that includes Hashem in it. Because if you're asking it as a Kaifer B'Iker, that's not an acceptable type of question. But if a person is asking a question as a Talmud Chacham asks a question, it's not oh my gosh, he's a Kaifer Biker, he's asking a question on a Rashi and Chumash, how could he do that? No, that's what a Talmud Chacham does, as long as we know that his place is in it, you know, his heart is in the right place. He's doing it by saying Hashem Elokeinu. If you have Hashem Elokeinu on your side, you could say Eschem. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not chutzpah to say Eschem. It's when a Rasha says Mavad Ezeis Lachem without mentioning Hashem, now you're already showing signs of kfira b'ikr. You're showing that you don't believe, and you're off the derech. You're not into it, and you're like distancing yourself from the rest of Klal Yisrael, and that is a very, very big big problem. So before we say one haysaf on to this guy, I just want to tell you a quick vart that Rabbi Isser Zalman Meltzer says. There's a story that's brought. I wonder if he brings it here. Very possible that he does. I don't see it offhand. But let me just see if it's by the... Maybe... I don't see it. Anyway, but listen to what he says. Rabbi Zalman Meltzer in his Sefer Ebn Azal brings a Maisa, which is very rare for Rabbi Zalman to do in his Sefer. Sefer is Halacha Sefer on the Rambam. He brings a Maisa from Reb Chaim. Now, if you look in different Svarim, we'll bring different Reb Chaim. Some will bring it from Reb Chaim Volozhiner, and some will bring it from Reb Chaim Brisker. And I don't know to this day, you know, which is the right version. You see it, many Svarim quote this story, and it's not clear who it is. But let's just say for argument's sake, it's Reb Chaim Volozhiner. That's how I normally quote it, as Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Maybe that's what Rabbi Zalman did as well. I don't remember. But a Talmud who used to learn in Volozhin, and then he went off the Derech, which sounds very surprising, but if you know a little bit of the history of Volozhin, there were certain tkufas, maybe it was later, maybe it was talked about Chaim Brisker when he was in Volozhin, but there were certain elements of Haskalah that had crept into Volozhin, believe it or not. Volozhin, we always look at as like the most perfect laboratory of Torah, and you know, everything was perfect there, but if you read some history books, you'll find that towards the later period in Volozhin, even though it started off extremely Kaddish Vitar, there were elements of Haskalah that crept in to certain parts of the yeshiva. And so it's not totally shocking that there would be somebody that went off from Volozhin. And years later, he bumps into Reb Chaim, his rabbi, the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin. And he approaches Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim maybe, you know, sort of remembers him from so many years ago. And he said, you know, what happened to you? Like, where, you know, you left the yeshiva very suddenly and haven't seen you in decades. Like, what's your story? He says, Rebbe, I'll be honest with you. He says, I had a lot of questions. I had sveikas and amuna. I had questions and amuna. And as a result of that, I left yeshiva. He says, and maybe now the Rosh Yeshiva, you know, we bumped into each other. Maybe the Rosh Yeshiva could enlighten me about some of my questions on amuna. I have these sveikas and amuna. They're haunting me. And they've been haunting me for decades. And maybe you can answer them. He says, I'd be happy to. He says, but before I answer your questions, let me ask you a question. Before you had these sveikas and amuna, were you nichshel in an avera? Was there like a major avera that you fell prey to? I don't know, maybe, whatever, use your imagination, like a very severe type of avera. Did you slip up with a cardinal type of avera, like a major avera? Yes or no? He says, yes. I remember my sins today. I did slip up. I did a very bad Avera. He says, and then your questions started coming to you, Sveikas and Amuna, right? He says, yes. He says, if that's the case, I can't answer what you want me to answer today. He says, because I can answer a question, but I can't answer a teretz. I can't answer an answer. What does that mean? He says, what your questions that you came up with in Emunah, these questions about, you know, whatever, did Hashem really create the world? Did Hashem really give us the Torah? Did Hashem, whatever, all these things, these are just fabricated to be metarets what you did. You did an Avera, and, you know, you felt guilty. Or maybe you liked the Avera so much that you wanted to do more of that Avera with a guilt-free conscience. So what you did, what do you do? How do you get around Hashem? No problem. I'll make up questions. I'll ask questions on Emunah. And if I ask questions on Emunah, so then if I can convince myself there's no Eibush there, I don't have to feel guilty anymore about the Avera that I did. And maybe the Avera that I plan on continuing doing. He says, I could be Metaritz Kashas, but I can't be Metaritz Terutzim. This is a Maisa that, and it's so true. I mean, it's very, very, it's very true. As a matter of fact, somebody came to me, I think it was just last week in yeshiva, and he came to me and he looked awful. And he, I said, what's the problem? He said, yeah, Seikas and Amunah, and whatever. I said, I said, you know, let me ask you a question. Did you slip up? You know, were you nichshel in an avera? It's torn from the headlines. I took a page from Reb Chaim. So he says, how'd you know that? So yeah, I was nichshel, and then I said, because this is pasha. This is the way this is human psychology. This is how we roll. We do an avera, and then instead of like feeling guilty, and instead it's much easier just to throw the whole religion away or to have questions on our emunah. It makes our conscience a lot easier to bear, our guilty conscience. Anyway, so Reb Chaim Elazar, Rabbi Zalman takes this story, which is an amazing story, and he plugs it into the Lashon of the Haggadah over here. It says by the Rasha, it says a Lashon of Ulufisha. I wish I would have made a copy of a page of the Haggadah for you so you could write it down and maybe say it over Saturday night if it fits. But by the Rasha it says, Ulufisha Haitzias Atzvim in Aklal. And because the Rasha took himself out of the klal, kafar biker, he was kafar biker. Now it should have really been the opposite. It should have said ulufisha kafar biker, since he was kafar biker. It all started because he was kafar biker. That's why he was mites himself from the klal. That's why he said lachem v'leiloi. He said ma'avay d'zayis lachem, which means that why would he say that? Because he was kafar biker. So it should have said Lefisha Kafaras Atzmin Aklal. That led him Lefisha Kafar Beikar. That led him to be Maitzias Atzmin Aklal. Why does it say Lefisha Haitzias Atzmin Aklal Kafar Beikar? So Rabbi Zalman says because of Reb Chaim, this is exactly what it means. Because you want to be Maitzi yourself from the Klal. You want to. You know, you did something wrong. You're a Rasha. You want to get out of it. You want to take yourself away from Klal Yisrael. You don't want to like have to deal with the guilt and the conscience and the pangs and the shame. So because of that, what does a person do very often? He's kafir biker. The kafir biker is the teretz for what you did wrong. You did something wrong. You want to be mataritz. Okay, kafir biker. That's Rabbi Zalman's brilliant idea. I wanted to give a different pshat I thought of once, how we know, to answer this question of the guy. I'm not dealing with the teretz of the guy, which is amazing that one said Hashem's name and one didn't. But maybe there's another way of finding a difference between the Lashon of the Rasha versus the Lashon of the Chacham. So the reason why it's not so apparent is because the Haggadah doesn't quote the entirety of what the Chacham said, or what the Torah says about the Chacham. It just starts from that the Chacham says, Ma'edus Achukim. But how does that Pasuk start? It says like this. This is in Devarim Vav, Pasuk Chaf. Ki Yishalcha Bincha Machar Lemar. When your son is going to ask you Machar, tomorrow he's going to ask you the following, Ma'edos Achukim, Amishpat, Ma'asher, Shetiv, Hashem, Elokeinu, Eschem. And then you should say to him, Avad Ma'in L'Fa'ar B'Mitzvayim, etc. If you notice the Lashon by the Rasha, if you go back to Parshas, that was in Sefer Devarim, you go back to Sefer Shemais, in Parshas Bay. So what is the Lashon there? By the Rasha, it says that Yud Beis Chaf Vav, V'haya Kiyamra Aleichem B'neichem, when your sons will tell you, Ma'avayda Azayis Lachem. There's one word that's really much different by the Chacham than the Rasha. Besides for what the Gain says, that by the Rasha he omits Hashem's name, by the Chacham he includes it. It's another very basic difference, and that is that by the Torah, when it's introducing the words of the Chacham, what does the Torah say? One word. Machar. V'haya ki yishalcha bincha machar. The son is going to ask a question that's nageya to tomorrow, to the future. The Rasha doesn't speak about the future. The Rasha just says, it just speaks about the present. It says that, V'haya ki yamer aleichem b'neichem, your son is going to say to you, Ma'avad, it doesn't say anything about Machar. That's a very, very, that's a way that you know whether somebody's a chacham or somebody's a rasha. One of the major differences between a chacham and a rasha is that a rasha lives for today. He lives just for now. He doesn't want to think about tomorrow. A rasha is somebody that always, like there's a pasuk somewhere, it says, achal v'shasai ki machar namus. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we will die. I don't want to think about tomorrow. Tomorrow is nothing as far as I'm concerned. I only think about the present. That's a rasha. A rasha is somebody, they don't make any cheshbonos about tomorrow. Tomorrow is not important to me. Tomorrow I'm going to die. Tomorrow, the future, it's not important. You're going to have to give a din v'cheshbon. I'm not thinking about din v'cheshbon. I'm not thinking about the yom ha'maves. I'm not thinking about tomorrow morning, how I'm going to feel after the aver was committed. I'm thinking about now. Right now, is it gishmak to do or not? Yes, it's very gishmak. It's very tempting. I want to do it. Boom, I do it. Well, what about tomorrow? What about the future? What about after you get married? How are you going to feel then? How are you going to feel after you have kids? How are you going to have to feel, you know, when you get old, when you have grandchildren, when you have... I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about now. Right now, it's what I want. And tomorrow, it isn't in my cheshbon. Not in my cheshbon. That's like, for example, do we find that ever in Chumash, such a concept that somebody gave away something precious for a momentary pleasure? Esav, excellent. Esav, he gave away the Bechira. He gave away the Bechira to Yaakov. For what? For a Nezid Adashim, for a bowl of cholent. Bowl of cholent. He had a bowl of cholent. Yaakov was cooking up a geshmaka bowl in the pantry, in the crock pot. It smelled really good. And Yaakov says, you know, would you like some cholent? He says, yeah, it looks really good. Okay, what do you got for it? I don't know, what do you want? I want your bechaira. Sure, of course. I want the cholent, you want the bechaira. Perfect, great shidduch. What do you mean? You gave away the bechaira? Do you know what that means? That means that in the future, Klal Yisrael are going to be in the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to be working, the Chashuva people are going to be the Bechairim. They're going to be they were the Kayanim before the Chet HaEgel, the Bechar. If you were firstborn, you were it. You got Rishain, you got Maftir Yain, you got whatever you wanted was the Bechar. You give Truma, you get Trumas, you get, all the matanis of the Karbanis, the Zraya, the Chayayim, the Keba, everything is the Kayin. The Kayin does quite well. Quite well, the Kayin does. The Bukhara would do. But that's down the road. That's like, I have to wait till after Yitzhak Mitzrayim and this, that. No. I want it now. I want that. So, basically, they're not thinking about tomorrow. If you think about tomorrow, we'd be different people. Imagine if we always thought about tomorrow. Right? How many times do we do this? Like at night, we're looking at something in our dorm rooms. And, you know, we're in the mood to like, we have a strong Yetzirah, a strong Taiva to watch a certain movie or to watch, you know, something that we shouldn't be looking at Bechlau. And, now if you'd stop a moment, give it a pause, and just think for a second, okay, if you're nichshol in this aveir right now, how are you going to wake up tomorrow morning? How are you going to feel in the morning after? You're not going to feel too good. You're going to feel pretty gross, right? If you could think about tomorrow before the aveira, that would be a great firewall between you and the aveira. I don't want to deal with guilt. I don't want to deal with tomorrow morning feeling dirty, feeling impure, feeling, you know, sullied. And I certainly don't want to deal with this after the machar, yesh machar mamish, yesh machar lachar zman. There's a machar tomorrow morning. Then there's another machar after we die. We have to give it in v'cheshbon, or maybe it's going to be on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time. Whenever the machar is, I'm going to have to deal with this. I don't want to deal with it. A rasha says, stop it. You know, there's a rasha on your shoulders that comes, stop with the machar. You know, enough with the macha. Forget macha. Right now it's geshmak. You want to see this. You want to feel this. You want to try this. You want to experiment. You want to enjoy it. Tomorrow you're going to die. Don't think about tomorrow. Tomorrow is not, it's not in our vocabulary, macha. Today is what counts. Let's do it. And so we do it. We jump in. We make these rash decisions. We do really bad averus, we make really stupid decisions, all because we're thinking about things today, we're not thinking about things tomorrow. We're selling our souls, we're selling our future for a bowl of lentil soup, period. That's Esav, that's Russia. So Russia doesn't think about tomorrow. There's no mention of, he just says, Vaya ki emra lechem menechem, your sons will say, Ma vayda zayis lechem. Very nice, no mention of Machar. When it comes to the Chacham is very different. The Chacham says, Ki sholcha bincha Machar lemar. The lemar, what he's going to say is all with an eye to tomorrow. He's thinking about tomorrow. He's not just saying things rashly. He's thinking about, if there's a word macher in the sentence, that's the chacham. That's the difference between a chacham and a rasha right there. One word is a chacham thinks about tomorrow. He's worried about, what am I going to do tomorrow? Don't forget about tomorrow. I don't want to wake up disgusting tomorrow. I don't want to have to deal with this slacha me'avesim. I don't want to have to answer to God. I don't want to answer to, you know, to myself and my conscience and my guilt. I don't want to deal with it. But if we do rash decisions at that moment, doesn't mean that we're a rasha because we're nifshal averus. We're trying our best, but we have, with the best of intentions, when we don't think about machar, we're going to be in problem. It's going to be a problem. So the difference, this is my own pshat, lahavdil, it's, you know, not the guy's pshat, the guy says it's pshat with Hashem Elokeinu, a chacham always uses Hashem's name, like the R over Chayshach. I'm just adding another possibility that in the context of the pasuk, you wouldn't know this by looking in the Haggadah, because the Haggadah doesn't quote this part of the pasuk, just jumps in and says that the chacham is the one that says ma'edas, but if you look in the pasuk and look at it yourself, Tavarim Vav Chaf, Ki shalcha bincha machar lemer. This is also the lashon of the Sheni Yedei Elisho, who is, I mean, is it the Talmud of the Sheni Yedei Elisho? Second? Yeah. No, it's the Sheni. Yeah, it's the Talmud, I believe. Let's see one second. Shemais Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel Yud Dalet. Shmeis Yud Gimel Yud Dalet again. V'haya ki shalcha bincha machar lemer mazayis. Okay, so he's a tum. He's a simple, so he's a good guy. He's just a tum. He's simple, but he's not a rasha. He's also as simple as he is. Even a tum knows to think about tomorrow. You're a pure, good, fine person. Even a tum has an eye to tomorrow. The only person that doesn't really have an eye to tomorrow is a Rasha. A Rasha doesn't think about tomorrow, doesn't want to know about tomorrow, just wants to know right now, what can I have? What can I enjoy? What can I feel? What can I do? Let's party. And I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing what people do in with rash judgments, with rash decisions. Like they make, you know, we all do this, I guess, you know, but they make decisions that, If they would be normal, if they would be able to like think about it for a few seconds before they do something, before they make the decision, if they would be able to just stop themselves, this is crazy what you're doing, you know, then, and it's with anything. I mean, it could be applied to everything. It could be applied to Gila Arayas. You know, people have these crazy relationships with, you know, what are you doing? Like, are you crazy? You know you're going to get caught. You know it's going to be another problem. They're not thinking. The answer is they're not thinking. They just want it now, and that's all. Sometimes it happens with Ritzicha. Person kills somebody. What are you killing the guy for? Do you know you're going to be in jail the next 60 years of your life for killing somebody? Yeah, but I want to kill. What, you crazy? They're not thinking about Macher. They're thinking about right now. It's called. That's why they call it a crime of passion. You don't even think about it. It's like a momentary lapse of sanity. You just like lose it and you get so angry at somebody, you kill them. And then what? There's no machar. You didn't think about machar. And the same is true with stealing. You go into a 7-Eleven, you stick the guy up for it. He gives you a Slurpee? What do you get for it? And then for years you have to sit in jail. For what? For a Slurpee? That's what you did it for? I was thirsty. You're crazy. But people do that. It sounds ridiculous. But people do. Okay, maybe it's not so. Maybe it's $10. Maybe it's $250. You're going to be in jail. You're going to have a criminal record. You're going to... they just do it. People do, this is not like, I mean, Baruch Hashem, by Frum people, we don't have necessarily that much exposure to this world, but hopefully we don't. But a large majority of the world out there does this every single day. It's a Maisa B'chol Yom, Gila Arayas, and Shviras Damim, and Geneva, and Gezela, and Chamas, and it's all over. It's rampant. What are they thinking? Are you crazy? It looked tempting, and I did it. It looked tempting, and I did it. Or I got so angry, and I did it. Or I just felt at the moment it was the right thing to do, and I did it. I gave in, but there's no machar. Yeah, I wasn't thinking about machar. If I would only have that word machar flashing in neon in front of my eyes all the time, I wouldn't do any averis. But I forget about the fact that there's a machar. A chacham always keeps that word machar on his glass. You can scratch in the word machar on your glasses, and you'll be okay. Because you're not going to do stupid things, because you're going to think about the morning after, tomorrow. What's going to be tomorrow? And when a person doesn't think about tomorrow, that's a rasha. The difference between a chacham and a rasha is the fact that by a chacham, there's the word machar. He's thinking always the future, the future, the future. I want to be clean. I want to be healthy. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be in trouble. I don't want to feel guilt. I don't want to feel distance from Hashem. A rasha, it just, let's go for it. Let's say right here and right now, bring it on. That's all. But tomorrow? Not tomorrow. I don't care about tomorrow. It's just now. Okay, Rabbi Sam.